Welcome to Hexed, the Sisterhood of the Supernatural.
Welcome to episode 113 of Hexed, Sisterhood of the Supernatural. I am Shannon, and I'm here with my sister,
Susie.
And we're here to talk all paranormal TV.
All the time. I mean, you like the paranormal thing, Shannon.
Am I supposed to say supernatural?
Normally we do.
Out of practice. I fell into a new habit.
That's okay. I like it.
Supernatural TV?
All the time.
Well, we do that too. On this week's episodes, we're going to be chatting some awesome new shows, actually. Well, new episodes. We're heading straight through with new episodes of Almighty Johnson's. We're going to talk about the Revolution series premiere. Woo. The Hot Set series premiere, which at this episode at least is, I think it's on target in terms of on topic for us, kind of, at least.
It is.
As well as Face Off and new episode of Paranormal Witness. So we have lots to talk about, so it's pretty exciting.
That is exciting.
And we're certainly finally, you know, now I guess with Revolution starting, that feels like new, like feels like fall because it's a new show. Like it's not just a returning show.
Yes.
For me, it's the first new show. It and Hot Set are the first new shows that I've started to watch. Have you started to watch anything else that was new?
No. No, I don't think so. Yeah.
It's a bit of a...
Oh, Dragon's Den.
Dragon's Den. That's returning.
Oh, you're right. That's returning. Never mind.
Dragon's Den. we also do have, speaking of new, we have some news to chat about. And, well, we mentioned last week that it's Maybon is coming up, and it's still coming up. It is on Saturday.
It is on Saturday. That's right. And the sun will enter Libra, too. So, and I'm seeing Judge Dredd.
There you go. That is the weekend plan, Maybon.
And Judge Dredd, like,
and Judge Dredd. I heard it was the opening night Midnight Madness film at TIFF this year,
the two go together so well.
So I'll be curious to hear what you think about it.
Yep.
We also have. I actually heard about a new series, Orphan Black, which has been ordered by Space, and okay. It's funny because it popped up on. I heard about it sort of in the summer, but I wasn't really super, I was like, it was like street savvy girl, crime-ish feel to it, you know. And I'm like, that sounds interesting, but it didn't feel very Hexed-y. And then they announced that Titania Maslany, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, is just cast in the lead. She was in Grown Up Movie Star. Did you ever see that?
No.
It's fabulous. It's an East Coast set Canadian film about, she's like plays a 15-year-old girl, and Sean Doyle, who was in Endgame, he was the main guy, the Russian guy in Endgame. Remember Endgame, the chess player, the Russian chess player, Canadian series? People.
Yeah, yes, of course, yes.
I was like, wow, oh my god.
Took me a while. I thought it was a movie, and I was like,
yes.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
He plays her father in this movie, Grown Up Movie Star, and it is such a beautiful, absolutely wonderful film, and they're both such amazing actors. So when I heard she was cast in it, I got a little more interested, and then I read the description a little more carefully, and she actually, like, accidentally sees a woman commit suicide, decides to take on her identity, but then finds out she's actually a clone. And this of the same, like, and this woman is a clone, and that there are clones, and that someone's after her. So I'm like, okay, that feels like we could talk about it. And
I'm like, absolutely. And when does that come out?
I don't know. They go into production in October this year.
Okay.
And we're casting soon, so we probably won't see it for quite a while. It's still in very early stages, but you know, it's, and I think it's a co-production. Bell Canada, Temple Street Productions, and BBC. So it would probably be a Canadian-British co-production. And I did put up a post today with the picture of Titania, so that you can get a sense of, you know, what she looks like. She was also on Being Erica, but I'd only watched some of that show, so I don't know who she played.
It's a great show.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. Always excited to hear about Canadian TV, especially with Columbia.
Yeah, it's true. Canadian clothes. At least it's not Canadian clowns. That's too scary.
I don't have a mental image of Canadian clowns, but I do for Canadian clones, which is really
so bring in the clones.
And speaking of co-productions, I gotta say, I am really, really, really not happy to say that Americans get to see Haven starting this weekend, and we get to start seeing it next weekend. We are
a
full week behind.
That blows.
Yeah, it starts on Sci-Fi this week on September 21st, and you U.S. folk are very lucky. But the thing is, we're getting it on the same day on Showcase a full week later, and that is really... I'm really not okay with that.
I'm not okay with that either. Shannon, did you say that's on the Friday?
Friday, we get it on Friday.
In Canada.
Friday the 28th.
Wow, and Grimm's going to be on then too, and eventually Fringe will be on then. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
That's an exciting night though, I have to say. I don't like being behind. What the hell's that about?
And I can't remember with Haven if we were initially, we might have even been ahead in season one. And so that's really, I hope at some point, maybe over like the Thanksgiving weekend or the American Thanksgiving weekend, we catch up, because a full week is just, it's too much. Like a couple days, I understand. And we still haven't landed the date when we'll be seeing Supernatural. I don't know what channel, if it's going to be on. Last year here it was on CHCH, but I haven't seen it crop up anywhere. I'm sure Space will play it, but they usually play it quite behind, like, you know.
Yes, they do.
So, but this year in the American station, it's on Wednesdays as opposed to when it was on last year on Friday. So,
okay.
Yeah. So
that's going to be a challenge for us. Well, we'll
see. So we're going to have to be very diligent about being spoiler-free and very clear about, you know, sharing which episodes we're talking about to keep everyone. Might be interesting, actually, for people to hear us talk about it after. They've already seen it next week, and we
can see
what happens or not. I don't know.
They'll be like, oh, they so don't know what they're talking about.
Speaking of there's some more sci-fi shows that have been renewed. Actually, Haunted Collector has been renewed for 12 episodes in season 3, which will be out in 2013. It's a show that I watch it on OLN. I don't know where
I could have sworn I taped that, but I never saw it.
Yeah, it's on a bit of a weird time, so.
I'm going to have to go look. I love that show. I know you're not. It's me. It's like Storage Wars meets paranormal.
Yeah, with this. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. I just didn't quite connect to the first season. And
well, you didn't like all the history.
Yeah, I'm not really.
And that it really is about history.
Yeah, I'm super into that. It's funny. I'm interested in it when it's like integrated into a, you know, fictional story, but a real story, not so.
Well, to be so American. Well, a lot of the time it's war.
It's war, it's Americana, it's just not
Shannon's thing.
Not my thing. So, I don't know if we'll get them in tandem or not, but they are planning a third season. And another show with a third season, which we do talk about more regularly now, is Paranormal Witness, has been renewed for season 3 by Sci-Fi. To air starting in June 2013, and it's upping its episodes to 20, which is pretty impressive. Their first season was 6, their second season was 12, and now they're 20. That is a lot.
Well, I mean, it's a low budget show, right? You know, the people come with their own stories, they tell them in a studio, and they just have to recreate certain scenes. I mean, it's low budget. And it's also fascinating, and people are really into the paranormal right now. So I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm actually pretty impressed to see them continue to pick up and expand on a lot of these. I call them nonfiction shows. They call them non-scripted series. Like potato, potato, tomato. Okay. Supernatural season 7 came out on DVD. This week on September 16th. So, yay!
Awesome.
I think if you check into Supernatural on Get Glue, you get a sticker for the DVD release. Not quite sure why, but you do.
We actually have successfully watched, I think, 5 episodes of the first season.
Awesome!
I'm very proud of us, actually.
That's pretty impressive. It hasn't been on that long. Like, I'm watching the Star Trek, and it's only on episode 12 or something. So, and they see the same day, so.
Well, there wasn't a lot to watch on the weekend.
Mm. See, I watched an omnibus of Gilmore Girls on Saturday that lasts for 5 hours.
Now that I can get. It's hard to watch. Like, we can get through 2 Supernaturals in one night. That's pretty much it. Even the fun ones, it's still heavy stuff.
It is. Yeah, I understand that for sure. More awesome TV. Sinbad heads into its season 1 finale this Sunday, September 23rd. So if you've been watching, or if you took a break, come back, because, you know, you don't want to miss the finale.
No, of course not.
I'm curious. They've been showing commercials for it, and it looks pretty good. So I will try and watch it with full attention. I don't always watch Sinbad with full attention, but I will this weekend. And with new shows, there's been some casting news with Revolution. I'll just say that and give the link, because I don't want to spoil anything. It looks like guest stars more than regulars, so it's a little hard to
Okay.
And we'd love for people to vote on our poll, how you are liking Revolution.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that was a great idea for a poll, Shannon.
So
I actually asked people on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll talk about that during the Revolution segment, but there's a lot of different opinions about it.
Yeah, and I'm surprised when I looked at the numbers. It's actually the amount of people that watched it is a lot more than most of the shows we talk about, substantially.
Wow, interesting.
So yeah, but I have those numbers, and we can talk about them when we get to that too. Last up, I did notice actually that this is what I'm kind of curious about. I looked up some of the new shows and how long they were anticipated to go for and their seasons and stuff like that, and almost all of them are just slated for 13 episodes, including Revolution. Revolution, Elementary, Last Resort, 666 Park Avenue, and Arrow all are noted as 13. And I don't know if that means, you know, at least 13 or 13 only, or, you know, are they going to see? It's so funny. I think at this time of year and like in the spring, I always forget how TV works in terms of the.
Well, there are some shows that go for half seasons. I know a lot of shows begin in January. This year. So I don't know if they're doing that so that they'll be done by January and have new content.
Yeah, but I always thought it was sort of like indeterminate, and then after a couple weeks they sort of announced if it was picked up for a full season. But
that could be.
But these, most of them said season 1, 13 episodes, and I was like, wow.
Oh.
So I'll be curious to see how it goes. And if anyone knows, everything this year is 13 episodes, let me know. podcast@gmail.com. Be curious or leave a comment. Okay, so I think that takes us to our first show of the week. Now, the order this week is going to be Almighty Johnson's, then Revolution Series Premiere, Face Off, Hot Set, and Paranormal Witness. All right, ready to go?
Absolutely.
Okay, so starting with Almighty Johnson's Season 1, Episode 8. I can give you a frig. So we're really getting down to it. okay, so here's my little synopsis. As both the gods and goddesses are looking with strong efforts for the frig, it appears that the frig is found in the form of Eva, a butcher and singer-songwriter. Or at least she works in a meat shop. I don't know if she's an actual butcher. Even more shocking, the two oracles are working and flirting together, and the goddesses stand up against their boss/bossy lady, Agnethia, because it becomes clear her plan is to kill the frig to stop the prophecy from fulfilling. I loved this episode.
Me too.
Oh my god. Who would have known that this is one of the shows, like the summer shows, that would have just gotten me like, been like, yeah.
Well, I mean, it helps that they went right to it. Most shows, the frig wouldn't have shown up for like ever. Yeah. And that she just sort of comes out of nowhere, and that it's the goddesses who find her, and that whole prophecy thing and oracle thing where the it goes up, all the names go up in flames, and that both oracles see it as a sign, and it is. Yeah. Like, I thought it wasn't, and it ended up being yes.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if Olaf was like setting those papers on fire so she wouldn't have any luck. But I love how she's like, I love the how she is so like, you know, like, I love doing the research, but, like, honestly, we could just, like, grab one and see what happens. Like, it's just likely to be the answer. Like, it's just, I love how her and Olaf have sort of created this, like, friendship thing. It's so cute.
It is adorable. Yeah, they're very godlike in that way, very that sort of ethereal, hippie, non-judgmental sort of thing, and that it how unusual it is that they're on opposite sides, but it doesn't bother them at all. And he was like, "No, you have the name. No, you should have the name." Like, so
So
polite.
funny, because I loved how the Oracle was like, "Well, it's a prophecy. Like, it's gonna happen." But it also shone a big light on Agnethia, the boss goddess lady, and how it really feels almost like gang style, like brainwashing, where it became evident that she really sort of took them all in. Like when she tried to get them to stop revolting against her, she really brought in sort of what she had done for them, and it was
Yeah.
all pretty. You know, like, I don't, and she,
Financial?
yeah, financial, or like, it felt like sort of blackmail after the fact, and it was also the tactic she took with the Frigg, with Eva, you
Yeah.
know, that, you know, like, I'll help you out, and it's all good, and all that kind of stuff, and it's like, yeah, you're a creepy lady.
Yeah, I know. And like, do we really understand her stance on not allowing the prophecy to come true? They don't want the gods to come into their power because they feel that they have power. And then I'm thinking, well, it's really only her because she
Yeah.
seems to have the money, and the other goddesses, you know, they're working for her. How
Yeah.
much power do they have?
Yeah.
So, and that's when Bragi convinces the, no, she's, what, well, they don't call her a half goddess. What is
Michelle,
she?
the
Yeah.
lesser, she's a lesser goddess.
Lesser goddess, that's right, that he, you know, he's like, well, what's wrong, you know, going into your power, you know,
Yeah.
why not do that? And that's when everything sort of, you
Yeah.
know, he just needs to use his power to be persuasive,
Yeah.
and he is, and she ends up working for him in a way.
Well, and it's funny because they sort of like when you think of like Olaf and oh, I can't find her name. Stacy? No. Ingrid, the two orcs
Yeah,
kind of
that one,
come
yeah.
together, and Bragi and Michelle kind of come together, and they're sort of like they're sort of similar, right? Like they're the one that people go to because they can get things done, but people don't really get along with them. Like it's kind of funny. It's like they end up finding each other, you know? And it's like, well, you know, of course I'm always like I'm rooting for love, Lord, you're the friggin', you know, like Odin or Happy, like that's a good thing, right?
Well, and isn't it interesting that she, you know, they really thought she'd be blonde hair and blue eyed, and she's almost goth. She, you know, the first time we see her, she's carrying a butcher's knife and it's just, you know, sliced up some meat, and that she does this emo type music, and it's like, wow, that is not what I was expecting at all. And I thought the effect that they did, even though it was totally low budget, to see how profoundly an impact she has on everybody was interesting. And yet, why is it that she's more powerful than everybody else? Like, why do people feel that around her and say not around Axel?
Well, I guess maybe I don't think we know a lot about the history of like the goddess Frigg. Like Odin, like you know who Odin is, right? Like it's like Odin, like he's
Yeah.
like all powerful god, and I would assume that the person he connects with is similar, you know, but a goddess. So
But you don't see women doing that sort of look to him at
that's
all.
true. That's true. Maybe she's more natural in terms of her abilities or something. Or maybe she doesn't know. Or maybe Axel would have been like that if nobody told him. Because that's the thing. Like, she noticed things started to change on her 21st birthday, but she doesn't know anything about her history,
Yeah.
you know. But it was really, I thought what was cool is one of the, Stacy, who's the sort of bike courier girl, she actually is the handmaiden of Frigg. So she's
Yeah.
not just a handmaid, she's the handmaiden of Frigg. So, of course, she's going to support Frigg over
Yeah.
Agnethia, like it just like that kind of just makes sense, like, you know, like it's
Yeah, how did they not see that coming?
you know, it's just yeah, there's so many little bits of it that just are so awesome. And it's funny because I totally forgot that in all of that there was also the whole story with Mike and Val and
Right.
Komarov and oh, and the emotional. The intensity of like Rob moving in to stay with them and Mike not being able to take it and them going through like walking down memory lane, and I found it so heartbreaking and more layered than I expected. Like I didn't
Yeah, well,
expect.
it didn't help that Bragi had meddled in things early on in the relationship. What a jerk.
I couldn't believe that he had slept with Val. I couldn't believe Mike stayed with her after he had slept with...
Well, he knew that that guy's powers. I mean, he essentially rapes women. He doesn't think he does. But he yeah. And the, she's like, I don't understand what happens. He would be the only one who understood the fact that she had no control.
Yeah.
So... That is That's absolutely true. Not her fault that she's not cheating on him. That's true. You know.
And I guess that's so, Mike's falling too, is that he's the standby man.
He is.
He, you know, he helps the people in need as opposed to does the best thing for him or for anyone. Like, he just doesn't, you know, like, that's what he does. And that's, we see that through his construction business as well. You know, like, mm-hmm. he'll, you know, go into debt to help other people out and then be, like, stuck. And it's like, what? That doesn't really work.
Yeah.
You know.
And, I mean, when she brought out the old videos of the engagement party or whatever it was, I was like, I thought it was going to be her and Mike.
Me too. I kept on looking because they were all three of them were in it. And I kept on trying to figure out, who is this about? What is this about? Like, it was really
fun. Yeah.
There's lots of confusion and intensity.
And it's interesting that Mike, you know, one thing that Bragi mentioned is that he thinks that Mike fell in love with her out of guilt.
Yeah.
And I never thought of that. And that you see him in those old movies and he's like, he's not looking longingly at the couple, like wishing that he could be with her or anything. He's like, oh, let me get out of the shot. They're kissing, that sort of thing. He doesn't look emotionally wrapped up in their situation
at all. No,
it's
just
like
a friend at the party.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And so maybe in that way, Bragi is kind of right, but it seemed very much by the end of the episode, no, she really was in love with him and that she can let go.
Yeah.
She's happy to be able to let go, but it doesn't look like she's letting go.
Yeah, but that for me, that was the layer that I wasn't expecting when she said that, you know, there was always a pain associated with thinking about Rob. And now that Rob's okay, she doesn't feel the pain anymore, so she feels fine. And it's just like, oh, that's so heartbreaking, because you would think that, you know, they get mad and, you know, she'd end up accidentally or, you know, sleeping with him while she's away, and then Mike would have justification to, like, break up with her. But it's like, that's actually not what's going on. Like, it's and it feels so real. It feels so, like, hard. Like, and so complex. Like, I'm so, for me, that's the layer of the show that I was never expecting, you know.
I would agree.
So, and the comedy is really funny too.
And the comedy is great. So, and I gotta say, the moment where Axel sees Frigg and she has that and the lights explode, I mean, it was awesome. And I kept thinking, it's not gonna happen this episode, but they just went full throttle and, put them in the same room and they had that instant connection.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, how many episodes do we have left of this season?
Two.
How much farther can they go?
There's two more episodes this season. Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see what, you know, where they go with that. And but one of the things that I loved is like with the goddesses and with Agnathia, Frigg was like really like, she's like, she was like, okay, it's nice to have new friends and stuff. She's like, whoa, dude, like, back off. Like, she's like, I'm my own person. Like, I'm not doing what you say. And I'm like, that's also, that feels like the sign of a god too. It's like, I'm not just gonna, you know what I mean? Like,
I know, and I love that she's supposed to be the goddess of what it's not maternity, it's
growth?
It's like of marriage.
Oh yeah. So,
something like that. It's very traditional, and yet she's not traditional, and that she's tough.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. If they ended up with some blonde, blue eyed, la 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 kind of girl. I just want to have your
blonde
baby.
And blue eyed.
No. But the fact that they went totally, I know, Shannon, there's nothing wrong with that. but that they took that sort of stereotype and turned it all the way around. It is someone who's very rebellious, who might not necessarily go along as planned and doesn't necessarily dream of having his babies and stuff. Because that's what it felt like, that they really subverted us
that
way. I'm trying
to remember what it was, that she's the goddess of like commitment or something, or it's matchmony.
Yeah, matchmony?
Yeah, I don't.
Is it matchmony?
I'm not sure. I don't want to look it up because I don't want to accidentally find out.
I know.
Figure stuff out. And then she eats her husband. It's like, damn. So,
it was a great episode.
Yeah, and it ended up with even more drama with Agnethia going to Eva's father, Colin, I think, who's a lawyer and a god. It's like, wow, so she just goes the next step. Like, I don't know where that's going, because I don't understand. I don't know what he's the god of, so I don't know what he could do, because she really tried to buy her off and, you know, send her away. Nope, wasn't gonna
Did
happen.
She ever misread that situation? I guess the money always works for her.
Yeah.
And in this case, you know, the girl comes for money.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what she hates.
Yeah, so that wasn't going to work. So anyway, really excited, really curious to see what's going to happen in the final two episodes. And as far as I know, it's new. It's new next week, and then finale is the week after. So,
awesome.
And I can't wait. I'm sure I'll share if I hear if we're getting season two as well. I really hope so.
Oh my god, to go through all that and not get season two would suck.
We probably will. It might not be, you know, right away. But it might. Who knows? I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see. So yay, Almighty Johnsons.
Yay, it's so good.
Awesome. Okay, so that takes us to our next show, and it's a new show. Are you ready to head on to Revolution?
I am.
Okay, so series premiere, season one, episode one, pilot. Okay, so the premise of the show is that there's the lights go out, the energy goes out, the power goes out, nothing works, and then it's pretty much seems to be set 15 years later. Now we get glimpses into, you know, where it starts, but it's most prominently set in the 15 years later aspect of it. So we see Ben downloads something to a USB key that looks like a Klingon communicator, in my opinion, right before the lights go out, and call his brother Miles, who's played by Billy Burke. Woo-hoo!
That's right.
So awesome. to tell him that the lights are going out, and then we go to 15 years later, where they say that most people in the cities are crazy and dangerous, and people try and live off the land, including Ben, and whose wife actually has passed at this point. They do say she dies, or the daughter says she's dead, so we don't...
Yeah.
It's hard, with shows like this, especially coming from, you know, J.J. Abrams and Kripke, everything has an out clause, man. So Ben lives 15 years later on the land-ishness with his daughter, Charlie, who's the girl, and she's an archer, and his son, Danny, who's asthmatic, which is a big issue when there's no medicine. And the militia comes to town looking for Ben and his brother Miles. Ben ends up getting killed. Danny ends up getting captured. Charlie heads to the big city to find Uncle Miles, and her dad's girlfriend / doctor Maggie comes along, as well as the town teacher and previous Google person Aaron, who actually has the USB key of whatever, goes with them, even though Charlie doesn't want anyone to come with her. So it's just a brief synopsis. It's very much like there's the militia sort of runs everything, and they have to pay taxes, and, you know, civilians aren't allowed to have guns, so they have things like arrows, you know, and it's pretty much kind of like new Western frontier town, you know, scare tactics, you know, stuff like that, rationing, you know. So as you can tell by the sound of my voice, it's getting kind of lower. I was not terribly impressed. For me, it's the fact that Charlie was like threatened twice by like sexual violence, I think, and had to be saved by someone else. I was like, the girl with a bow had to be saved twice in one episode. Really?
I know.
You know, like, that really just cheeses me off. But in some ways, they got it, you know. I don't know, maybe it won't happen again. I find it doubtful, but that's my problem with survivalist style anything, to be honest. Because women always get the shaft.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, her dad gets killed, her mom's dead. It's not an easy world for anybody.
That's true.
So... I know it doesn't balance things out.
Yeah.
And she did fight.
Yep.
Like, she did, like fight
and she
hard.
Did, you know, really play a key part in Miles being able to, you know, she does find Uncle Miles, and there's this awesome, huge, like, and I'm sure a lot of people really enjoyed the big, huge fight, shootout, arrow out thing in the hotel, which was pretty impressive for a TV show, to be honest.
I know. I actually thought that was really amazing how Miles had set it all up.
Yeah.
you know, he had the gear ready and waiting and everything, and yet he was getting overrun, and that his it's his niece.
It's his niece, yeah. Charlie's
yeah, comes in and helps save him. So yeah, I agree with you. There's always gender politics and sexual politics in general in this sort of storyline. For me, what was so distracting is so much of the music was right out of Lost.
Oh wow, I didn't notice that at all.
Totally the same.
Huh.
Absolutely the same. Like I was sitting there going, is this a joke? And then, you know, the plane crashing, the planes crashing in general reminded me of Lost.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it was horrific. Like, it's like that times, like, how dozens and dozens of planes and people dying. It was just so horrible. So for me, I had issues with that just personally being a little, I know it's post-apocalyptic, but it was still that part was just, it's always hard for me.
Yeah. For me, I felt like they dealt with that. I felt like they like acknowledged and with the Lost connections and let them go, because like they had the planes and stuff like that. But Ben was someone on Lost, right? Ben was Ethan from Lost.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was her dad.
No, it's not.
It's not the same actor.
No, it's a different actor.
Really? Okay.
I know this actor from another show. They look a lot alike. It's not him.
Okay. Well, okay. But her mother was someone from Lost.
It's Juliet.
Yeah, but she died. So for me, like, I felt like they did stuff like this. So they were, like, saying, look, we know, but that's not what we're doing.
And you know, that's fine. I would have been fine with that. But some of the music was absolutely taken from Lost and some of the sound effects. And that I just found distracting.
That's so weird. I didn't notice that at all.
No, totally. Huh. And I kept saying it throughout the episode. And Reg was like, yep, just. And I'm like, but I don't want to.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to let that go. And that guy, Aaron, is totally like Hurley in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
There was some of those things. In fact, on Facebook, Amy wrote that she thought it was the Lost meets the Hunger Games.
Oh.
And I could totally see that. But I still like the premise. I like the idea. I find it fascinating. I thought the development as to who the M guy was and why he knew that Ben and Miles would have some knowledge as to what had happened.
That's right.
That slow reveal was very clever.
Yeah, that's true. Just for context, that's at the beginning of the episode, Miles is in the car with a guy and they both go after the blackout or whatever, like they get to a military base and the other guy is now the head of the militia or whatever.
What's his name? Is it Mitchell?
Monroe. Sebastian Monroe.
Monroe.
And it looks like Billy Burke, or Miles, was also part of the militia, but he left. And he's really good at killing people, which is why Charlie was sent to go get him in case of emergency.
Right.
As opposed to actually, like, you know, save her brother. I'm like, yes, because she grew up in a post-apocalyptic world and she can use a bow, but she can't actually save anyone. So it's like stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Like, it just kind of bugs me.
I think it was also keep the family together. Like, she's going to need a father figure, right?
Yeah.
Without telling her that, because
okay,
that's pretty brutal.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah. So, not that he's probably the best father figure, considering he's a bit cantankerous.
Yeah.
But I like that. I like he does a good job.
Yeah.
You know, he did such a good job as Bella's dad. I did love him as Charlie and this sensitive, strong guy. But it's also really cool to see him fight. He's fast.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The guy can really move.
I don't know if it was always him.
No, that's true. But even when you can see his face doing the dagger work, I was
He's extremely charismatic and he's a really good actor. For me, I'm so excited to see him on this show and to be sort of in a lot of ways front and center because like he's good. He deserves it. I just don't love the show, but I like him so much. I'll definitely keep watching. See how things go, but he was very good and that was a pretty elaborate fight scene for TV, you know. And then
it was.
And then there was all the sort of other crazy stuff like, you know, like the young guy that helps save Charlie ends up actually he is militia and he was like following them and stuff like so it's definitely set up that you can't trust anyone. You know, like
and yet he saves her in the end.
He does. Yeah, he does. So but it's also it's kind of like you can see that level of complication can definitely add when there's very limited options. Like, what do you,
yeah,
you're in the militia, you're kind of protected because, like, we are as one, but they're very militant, right? So if you're outside of it, you're almost disposable and, you know, you don't really have any support. Like, I just, I find stuff like that so challenging, you know? So, and then I didn't, did you recognize the guy that came to get Ben?
Yes.
Yeah? I don't...
I know from Once Upon a Time.
Oh, okay.
Did you see that?
No, I haven't watched that, but he looks familiar, but I'm just...
I'm sure he's been in other stuff too, but the most recent thing I've seen with him is in Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
He's good.
And that's... And I found his character interesting and in the idea of... Because he really demonstrated, you know, what he did before versus what he does now. He was an investment adjuster, and now he's, you know... a commander. He's some kind of military person that can tell the people are lying or whatever. Like, I don't know the right term. Lieutenant or something. So, you know, so, the, and that's, and I do think the dynamic of having the kids, which are, you know, basically grew up after the fact, and definitely anyone younger than them, are people that grew up in, you know, in the revolution. Like, like,
yeah,
something, you know, I don't know. So, and then there's the whole mystery behind the UBS key and the other woman who had one and who had a computer.
She's from Bones, by the way.
Oh, really? I didn't recognize her.
It took me a while to recognize her because her hair is so different, but her eyes, they're so unique. She's the well, later on in Bones, she's the head curator, I think, of the...
Oh, wow.
She's basically a mortician, right?
Yeah, I remember.
A mortuary type person. Yeah, that's her.
Oh, I did not recognize her because I was like, oh, that must have been when I was watching. Nope, I was.
Yeah, because I'm not watching now. Who knows if she's still on it? But but I thought it was really interesting that she did obviously did not want to help Danny.
Yeah.
But could help, but help him.
Yeah.
And that she ended up giving him in as a way to prevent them from finding out about the tech that she had. And isn't it interesting that that little thing is its own power source too? I was not expecting that. I'm like, well, what good is a USB if you don't have a computer?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know.
But it,
that's what.
Well, it turned the lights on. Yeah. It turned the computer on. Yeah, when she played around with it. So I thought that was really quite interesting.
It's funny because for me, like, I feel like the tech stuff, like, I just find it a little, the whole, like, when they threw in the whole batteries don't work either thing, I'm like, wow, that just seems so weird. Like, I don't, my science knowledge is not high or whatever, but it's just like, what do those have? Like, I guess it's stored energy, but I'm like, how could that just be gone? Like, what?
EMP, yeah. An EMP strike.
But then how would the things that they have still work? Are they a different kind of energy? Maybe that's it. It's sort of like...
They were shielded in some way because they were in that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you notice as you see the United States go black, the Canada was all black already?
I didn't notice that, but I did notice it felt like it was only North and South America. Like, I don't know if it's across the world or just those continents.
I think they did show the rest of
some
of the rest of the world. It's just, it's like as usual, Canada doesn't really exist.
Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's this black mass, right? Oh. It happened to us hours ago or something, you know? It's like,
we were already
it's just really
there.
Weird. Why couldn't we have been included in that, you know? Like,
yeah, but that's an interesting question. Like, do country borders have any meaning? Or, you know, are they respected? Like, they've had this whole... Like, they did set up the difference, like, the city and rural changes, which I, honestly, as a city girl, I'm kind of like, oh, yes, because, of course, people in cities would just, like, kill each other. And it's just like, come on, we're not all that bad.
Oh, I think, no, I think, I agreed with, when I first heard that, I thought the same thing. And then I thought, well, it'd be kind of hard to grow stuff for a lot of people. So you need to go to a physical area that can.
And I can't remember if they said dangerous or you just die or something like that. So I can't remember specifically, but I do remember feeling like, well, yeah, of course. Like, it just feels like one more stereotype.
I know. I thought the same thing too.
Yeah.
But then when they were there, they weren't in any danger, which is when I was thinking it's like everything is overgrown, but no one's growing food, and you can't survive without food.
It's like a more dangerous situation. Like, they had to be way more aware, and there were lots more people, and without any law, like, you know, people could just take stuff, and, you know, like, there was the presence of danger for sure, I felt. And did you recognize the girl who plays Charlie, the daughter?
I did, but I don't know what from.
She's from Being Human, the North American version in the second season. She's a twin.
The North American one.
Yeah, the North American one.
She's a twin.
She's a twin. She has a twin brother.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Really? Yeah. She looks so much younger.
She looks, yeah, because she looks very sort of young and fresh-faced, and it's weird.
Yeah.
I think it's weird, because when they did the flashbacks, it's like they're initially with her brother, and then she has the memory flashback of eating ice cream. So I wasn't even sure if they're brother-sister, but they act like it, but because they're shown separately, you know, and then it's like she seems to have memories of before, and I'm not sure he does, which makes me feel like she's older, maybe?
She is. I think they showed him as a young boy crying in the dark, and he looked about 2.5.
Yeah.
And she was like 5, 6,
yeah.
I guess.
She was hungry, so she was talking, you know. Yeah,
that's true. And I have a feeling we're going to, even though that they killed off a couple of actors, like some characters, that they're going to come back. This is going to be a flashback show.
Sure.
In a big way. I sense it. And I did want to say that I actually really liked Maggie, the healer.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, I know that she's a bit annoying and stuff, but she was tough. She was so smart to have poisoned alcohol on her. And when she attacked the guy beside her, she was like a ninja.
That's also, I wasn't even sure if that was her, because she poisons him. And then she actually, like, pretty much, like guillotines, like strangles him, right? She,
yeah.
Like, uses some kind of wire and then, like, pulls it behind a... Like, she's on the other side of the chair.
I think it's what she was tied with.
Yeah. And it was so quick. And from the angle, I wasn't even entirely sure it was her or not. So
yeah.
But it was just like, wow. And it's also, we don't know much about her, right? Like, that's the kind of cool thing about having that it starts later is that, you know, was she, you know, this guy's girlfriend? How long was she there? How long was she on her own? What happened? So there's definitely lots of potential for lots of backstories. But again, that's so much like Lost, like doing the parsing out per character, you know, like it's hard. And it's odd, like you feel the Lost connection more than I find that you feel the Supernatural connection in terms of format.
Yeah, well, so far there isn't much of a Supernatural anything.
I think, no, I don't think there's, I meant the series over the concept, because Kripke's also heavily involved with this series. So,
right, yeah.
Tim and J.J. Abrams. And so, like, the sort of Americana, do-it-yourself, you know, guns and go a-blazing, that's very Supernatural. But I don't, I'm not totally, the on the road, you know, on your own, that kind of thing.
So you're saying Supernatural in the context of the television show?
Yes.
Not in the context of being paranormal?
Yeah, I'd be actually quite surprised if there's any paranormal element in this beyond whatever the tech disaster, possible recovery, how they get power now, like that kind of stuff, which feels more science fiction, post-apocalyptic as opposed to Supernatural. So I don't know.
I would agree.
So,
well, you're not the only one who had issues. Kim said, she said it was a little bland, you know, not so bad that she doesn't want to watch it. She'll give it a few episodes, but maybe they're just getting off to a slow start. Mm. And yet on Twitter, a lot of people wrote, I loved it. Like, they were so in love with it. So it's just really interesting because, I think I would, well, first of all, I had heard, you know, you didn't seem super excited by it. Mom didn't either. She seemed quite bored.
Right.
So I kept my expectations really low.
Right.
And I didn't even know about the whole Lost connection. Like, I'd forgotten about that. And so it just kept coming up in the music and stuff, and it was just annoying the hell out of me. So I do hope that they stay away from that in the future, because I would like to watch a show about a girl who can, you know, maybe kick more ass in the future.
Yeah.
You know? And I hope it's more about her than her uncle, who I do love.
Yeah.
But I like to see her be the main character.
Yeah. Well, and I have no idea. Like, when they show pictures, they're usually ensemble pictures with both of them near the front. So who knows what it's going to be, and who knows if it'll change. And knowing both these guys, like, if they have a long-term vision for the show, like, you know, it could really change over time. I wasn't that thrilled with the son, he just wasn't, like, he got captured and he got
away. Yeah, we haven't really talked about him. Yeah.
It just wasn't as engaging. And I agree with you, the Dr. Maggie, she definitely was, like, for me, I found her one of the most compelling and mysterious characters. And Aaron was interesting, too. And, of course, with him, we get this comparison of, you know, even if you had tons of money, you know, you may, right. you know, in different circumstances, you might have nothing. He's trying to teach kids stuff and they don't care. They want to go chase toads or something. So there's a sort of human societal comparative, you know, kind of interesting, you know, idea and thought process that I'm curious about, like from like a cultural, like observational perspective, but I don't feel like I'm that invested. I love Billy Burke and I do love the main character, like Charlie. I like her character a lot, but it's kind of like, you know, that's an awesome outfit. Would that have, like, where did she get it? You know, it's not a deer. You know what I mean? Like maybe they'll have a story behind it. Maybe on her 16th birthday, she snuck out with a friend to a mall and got it, you know, and it did survive 16 years. Like, but for me right now, that feels like a bit of a red herring, right? Like it's, you know, or maybe it was the last thing her mom had or whatever. Like these guys, that's the thing with Kripke and J.J. Abrams. Like, I feel like they're smart enough that stuff like that'll get solved. So I try not to get too, like, you know, nitpicky, because they're probably more nitpicky than I am. When I looked on the premiere night, I looked through Get Glue, because often I find that's a good place to go if you're watching something live to get a sense of, you know, what people like and don't like. And, you know you're engaging in spoilers and that, you know, as opposed to Twitter, I don't think people should put spoilers. But I found like most people were pretty excited about it. And there was just a few sort of more disgruntled, you know, people that were just kind of like bored or not that. Like for me, it's weird because like when I looked at what the viewers were, it was 11.65 million viewers, which is a lot. Most of the shows we talk about are more in the sort of 1.5 to 5 million.
Wow.
So this is twice that. And in comparison to sort of similar shows, similarly vain shows, like that's a, it's just more than the Revenge premiere was and just less than the Once Upon a Time premiere. So it's sort of in that range.
From last year?
From last year. Oh. They haven't started yet.
Okay.
So it's kind of, so those, cause I, like for us, like in comparison, Supernatural's first episode was 5 million people, right? And Lost was 18 million. So Lost was more. And that now over time, I've realized that sort of like the less specialized something is, the more people will watch it. And Lost was really the big learning curve on that. Like, cause when it started, it just felt like drama. And then it got weird over the years, like nobody knew. So, but if it started weird, it probably wouldn't have done as well. So,
I don't know. That's a good point.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see. And I also, that's only with shows that are on regular television, not specialty TV, because it's not, you know, you can really compare this to something like Lost Girl or True Blood. Like it's different. It's not this, it doesn't have the same audience, not the same people would watch it. So that's where
Well, it'll be interesting to see if we continue talking about it then, Shannon.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I'll definitely, like, as I said, I'll definitely keep watching. But it's not like, you know, I tape this and watch it the next day and I'm certainly going to do that and watch, you know, Alphas.
Right.
So like, which I'm more committed to. And, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see where it goes. The good thing is I thought the acting was good. I thought the story was good.
Yes.
I didn't, like, there wasn't anything that sort of stood out as that wasn't good. It was just, you know, I'm not an early adopter. I think Haven was in Lost Girl. I was an early adopter. Usually I wait. Trepidation?
Yeah, with trepidation. Yeah. With
trepidation. I go into series. I don't know. So we'll see. So is that all about Revolution?
I think so.
Okay. So that takes us to nonfiction land, which first, okay, so, and then we have Face Off. So you saw this week's, right? Face Off?
I did.
So it's season 3, episode 5, Supermobile. The competition was they worked in teams. They got an inspiration came from a car and they were creating a superhero and a sidekick. So I think the teams, they didn't pick their teams, but the team picked the car. So
that's right.
Yeah. Very interesting. And the guest judge was Kevin Smith, which is pretty freaking awesome.
I know.
You know, and definitely a comic book enthusiast. It was interesting to see the different choices people made, but I thought this one was a bit clunky.
You mean with the costumes, a bit clunky, or how they? Yeah, I know. I just thought it was so weird. No one chose the one that looked like a bullet car. You know, that would look like a rocket car. I was hoping someone would pick that one, the long, thin one.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. And then we were talking about how no one picked the Lamborghini. I'm like, anybody could drive a Lamborghini. All these other ones you don't see on the You never would see on the street. I mean, Lamborghini, you don't, because of how expensive they are.
Which one was the Lamborghini? Because I don't know what a Lamborghini
Oh,
is.
it's the yellow sport car and has the doors open on the side.
Okay.
That's or up like this. That's a Lamborghini. It's like the most expensive car. So people freak out when they see it. But the thing is, people do drive it. I mean, billionaires drive it, but people do. Whereas the other ones, I mean, that, you know, sort of sporty hell car. You don't see that very often.
Yeah.
But this one was filled with a lot of snafus, and I think in the end I was only really impressed with a couple. I'm shocked Rod did not go home, to be absolutely honest.
Yeah.
That was brutal, and it's true. V was trying to say, look, change the look of your characters if you can only make the same person. And I'm going, Rod, who is this person to you that you're obsessed with?
Yeah.
Because he couldn't, he could have made the guy gaunt or something. He just added more bulbousness to the face, which just made it more of a caricature of the same faces he's been doing,
And
so.
they did the one that was the master and slave kind of thing, like the mind control.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting idea, but I thought it came off really clunky. And
Yeah.
like I kind of understood why. I don't know. Like I actually really thought Rod would have gone home. If he was going to go home, he would have gone home last week. So then it's even more shocking that he didn't go home this week. You know, but the other guy, I gotta say, when I try and think back to what he had done, I was like, I wasn't coming up with anything.
He didn't really stand out. The only one he stood out for was the martial arts, the
Yes,
realistic
that
one.
was
That's he. That
fabulous.
was his thing, and that was about not standing out. It was about looking very real.
Yeah. Wow.
But that was it.
That was.
I personally thought that in comparison to the guy whose jaw was falling off, I didn't
I
think
thought he
his
would
was
have,
that
you know what?
bad.
I thought he would have gone too. Like, and it's
Yeah.
really hard because he's part of the two twins, and his brother went home, and you can feel it on him. You can feel that, like, that he's just not the same. Like, that it's,
Yeah.
you can feel that how much that's affecting him. But it's like he had, like, I guess, but the guy that went home, Jason, like, he had the problem with the paint, right? He had to repaint everything. So he wasn't actually
Yeah.
using the product correctly. So that's a technical
Yeah.
thing, too. So I get
That's
it. So
true.
that's what I mean, like, clunky. Like, there were several big issues. And I don't feel like, I
Yeah.
like the one that won, like, the chaos and the imp kind of idea. But, like, I didn't feel like anyone really nailed it. Like, and I'm like, wow, we're at a time where superheroes are so big. To not nail it
Yeah.
feels weird.
I also thought it was so weird that most of the characters didn't look human. I mean, most superheroes
Yeah.
are humans in tights.
Yeah.
As you know, you have Hellboy,
Yeah.
and she did a Hell Girl essentially.
Yes.
So I didn't find that all that original. So I just thought it was really odd that all of their ideas were about being kind of alien or deformed
Yeah, or
as a hero.
mutated, or yeah,
Yeah.
like the guy
Because,
that
like, I mean, think.
exploded, like Tommy with the exploded,
Yeah.
and a lot of them didn't, like, although the one in the bottom, the ultimate, the two, the mind didn't control, you know, master and slave type thing, I think there was them and the one who won were very collective, like they looked like a pair. They
They
actually looked
did.
like a pair, and I felt like the other ones not so much, like the alienish woman who was gorgeous but
God,
looked a
she was
lot
gorgeous.
like the one from the first episode, the Star Wars one. The makeup
Okay.
was very similar. It's gorgeous but very similar, white face, high contrast, big,
True.
you know, and I think it was even the same model. But
She didn't come across as very strong, though. I didn't know anything about her. What were her
what's her
strengths? It was
power?
just
Yeah.
superpower. Yeah, she just seemed beautiful.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so that was, to me, that was so surprising, and I feel like it was like not picking your partner, having to connect it, and then they obviously everyone worked on one each, and there wasn't a lot of, like, if you put all eight of them in a lineup, how many would be able to put together who was who was a psychic? I don't know if that many would have happened.
The one I thought the guy, and he's been so stellar, the imp, I thought was really quite amazing. And he did feel like a sidekick to her.
Absolutely.
He did.
Yeah.
I thought he was fantastic. And I didn't like that one just because, in the sense of it being so much like Hellboy, but that part was different. That part was very unique, and it did go together, and it did work with the vehicle.
For sure.
I thought the idea of creating the character connection as a result of the vehicle quite fascinating. And how cool is it that they were at the Batcave?
I know. That was so awesome.
I freaked out. I was so excited. I was hoping that the you know, Batman's old car would come out. But so I just, I mean, and the woman who, you know, V had said, make sure she's not too ugly with the scarring. I mean, I agree. Like, what? I really like her.
Yeah.
I think her name's Sarah.
Sarah,
I'm not sure,
yeah.
But it is Sarah.
Yeah.
I'm finally getting their names. She's amazing, but what is up with that?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I think she is really good at what she does, but she doesn't know the genres, you know, like I think, is it like the zombie thing? Does she not know about superheroes?
Yeah, could be. And it's funny because out of the cars, that's definitely the car that I would have picked. The sort of, I had a whole idea going on of what I would do, and like, you know, and it was actually not that dissimilar from what she did with the sort of Indiana Jones character. Like, I would have done like steampunk and pirate.
Yeah.
Because I felt like the sidecar felt like a boat. So I thought, right? And so I thought, like, and I would actually kind of, even though this would be risky because it's not adhering to the challenge, I would actually have them be equals. And steampunk woman and pirate guy, like pirate captain guy, and if they were on land, she was the superhero and he was a sidekick. And if they were on water, he was a superhero and she was a sidekick. And I would have their makeups like change in color so that it was sort of like blend. Like, she would be like mostly steampunk with like one arm that was like blue for water, and he would have the reverse. So there would be like this sort of like gradation of color between the two of them. That's what I would have done.
Oh my God, Shannon. You still have to be on these shows.
I think the worst class I ever had was 3D, so I can't make that. But that was my idea.
That's an awesome idea. Well, and there was no quick fire type, I don't, can't remember what they called it on
foundation
the show.
Foundation challenge. Yeah, they don't.
Foundation challenge, yeah.
Yeah, they don't always have them. So
like, maybe it's, they only have it when they don't have, like, they have an odd number.
Yeah, maybe.
It could be.
And I thought it was cool that even like the guy who left, like Kevin Smith, and I don't know how genuine he was, he actually offered him a job. And I'm like,
I think I would totally have showed up with donuts and coffee on the Monday. I would have done it. And I don't know if that guy took him seriously at all. Maybe he was just overwhelmed, but
I don't know.
But I thought he was a really good judge. I thought that I liked that he had no problem disagreeing with the other judges. And even at the end, he said, don't listen to these bozos, come work for me. It's like, that was awesome.
It's so funny because it's like, in some ways, I'm like, I can't believe he just said that. But it's like, that's who he is, right? Like, that's like, that's, you know.
That's why I like him, yeah.
He's mouthy and honest.
But you know, he was right there. There was only one couple did an insignia.
Yeah, that was surprising.
You know that was very surprising, and I still can't believe I seem to be the only one out of the, like, the judges didn't bring up the fact that no one looked really human.
Yeah,
I mean, this was supposed to be someone you want to become.
Yeah.
Do you really want to become a guy with half his face blown off, or a patch that stays on for no reason, or from hell, or I don't know. It's just, I'm just wondering if it's a reflection of how we feel about heroes these days. It's that they're not
so disconnected
or so brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so brutal, physically, especially. I mean, he did say the first thing to do is kill off their parents, and it's more like they're thinking is, what can we cut off their face, or their, what can we place their hand with?
Like,
as
a
point
with straight up human, there's not much to do in terms of makeup, though.
Of makeup. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's, I mean, and that's why I wondered if that's why it never really came across that way. But I don't know. Anyway, I just found that really quite odd. And I liked at the beginning of the episode how so many people agreed that Nicole should not have gone home, including the guy who felt like he should have gone home instead of her.
Yeah.
And he panicked again this week.
You know what? He has been so, like, that first week hit Tommy, right? With the longer hair.
Yeah.
Like, his first week was rough with that guy that walked off. Like, absolutely rough. But he's had that jittery, crazy, nervous energy ever since then. Like, honestly, it's like, wow. I just, you know, and also, and his makeups haven't been that great. Like, they just, they have, like, I'm always, like, I'm rooting for him, but, like, I'm like, wow, there's just always something that's just, and it's, but he, like, you know, when he often, this week with the blown up face on half of it, and last week with the crazy rabbit thing, it is his vision. So, like, for me, I feel like, wow, it's just, like, it, we just have a different aesthetic. But I do, like, I'm excited from the fact that it seems like he has a vision and he gets to his vision. That's often not a place that people... You know, it often takes a lot of time to get from that one to the other there, but he seems to get that. So that's cool, you know.
That's true. You know. Yeah, that's a good point.
Cool. So is that...
Well, did you like the winner?
I did, but I was surprised she won. I actually really thought that Roy would win again with the imp because it felt more, you know. I did like it. For me, the plasticky hell thing, like, they worked on the sleeves, but I think on the head, I thought it looked weird. I thought if it should have been material, like, it looks like plastic. I didn't understand how that would
have been organic.
Yeah. So it,
she couldn't have sat in that car either.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Oh my God. That's true.
It was so, for me, the imp could have gone in that car, but she couldn't have. There's no way. Mm. And they said, I'd love to see her in that car. I'm like, well, it's not a convertible. Yeah. So for me, that's a real problem.
And I think that was the concept behind her character, was that she could morph into different shapes, but you don't get that from looking at her.
No. And I agree with you, the plasticky thing and that it kept moving and everything.
I liked it, but I was not a fan.
No, I thought the imp was so much better. He felt so real. Although I gotta say, I really did love the thorn lady. I did. I thought she was just so beautiful. I couldn't take my eyes off her.
In the Jeep?
The green. The Lauren's character.
Yeah,
I thought
she was
gorgeous.
Yeah, I think the only reason why I didn't super, you know, connect to that one is I recognized pretty early how much she looked like the Jedi character. Because it really, you know, if you're going to call out Roy or Rod for making similar, you know what I mean?
That's a good point.
And nobody noticed it. But it wasn't 3 weeks in a row. It was two apart and, you know, and they both were.
And nobody talked about her power. Like, who she was. Yeah. Just that she was being saved.
Yeah.
That's lame.
It's weird. So, anyway, but sometimes that happens when, like, at this point, like, they work in a team of two and each have one character, so there's lots to talk about, so sometimes you don't get to see everything. But I do like that this show does have, like, it's a pretty long critique process in terms of we do get to see a fair amount. I really hate it when they have shows like this and then you don't even get a moment to hear everyone talk about their work. I'm like, that's not fair. So I watch this show.
I know.
Cool. So are we good?
I think we're good. I think we're ready to move on to Hot Set.
Hot Set series premiere. So season one, episode one, Crash Landed Astronaut. I was so excited that it was sci-fi because then I felt like it was like we could legitimately talk about the show. And I was like, this really is sort of, that's why it wasn't also awesome as a paranormal pick of the week. Cause I'm like, you know, I don't know if this is gonna like have anything to do with anything to talk about, but I want to talk about it.
Hey, we still talk about TV and movies. So as far as I'm concerned, it's valid.
That's true. So the premise of the show, if you're unfamiliar, it's two production designers battle it out for $10,000 to create a set based on basically a paragraph of script and an inspiration piece. At least that's how this one was orchestrated. I was surprised that it was just two people, like, versus each other.
I know.
It's a different format, but the amount that they have to create, like, they actually have to create a fully functioning, working, lit set that an actor is in, and then they shoot, and then they show both the set and the footage, the scene, like...
I know, in 3 days.
It's extraordinary.
And, like Craft Wars, they actually get to bring their own team to help them. If you haven't watched Craft Wars, it's pretty silly, but it is fun. And so I just thought that was interesting that they actually use the same premise where they get to decide who's on their team, like the two team leaders.
And
like they're the team leader, but they're the people that they work with.
And that makes sense because, and they need a team. Like you can't create a set on this
no.
one. And that would actually end the social dynamics and leadership skills definitely came into play in this episode. And and that will, like, sometimes I feel like that's not valid. Like sometimes when they have, like, say a show on Face Off, well, all of a sudden you're, well, no, Face Off would work, but like is sometimes in a show when it's like you don't necessarily, you can work in the industry but not necessarily have to be a leader, and you have to, and then you don't do well. I just feel like it's not fair, but like in this one you do, you're leading a team.
Yeah.
You know, so that was
and it's your vision.
Yeah.
Which ended up being an issue for one of the teams because she wasn't very good at articulating it for a while.
No. And then you see the different styles on that. Like then she would just go fix it. This is what I want. You know, give me that, I'll do it. And that's one style versus, you know, relaying it out and having other people do the work and then just checking in. So and
yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. And so they each had I think their script, which I actually thought it was really cool that the inspiration comes from the script and like duh, was pretty scant. Like it was like exterior day something inferring that it's off world, a character direction that they're in horror that they will never go home.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm like, wow, there's so many places
I know
from that. Like, so that's like, I was kind of like, oh, we get to see two visions? Oh, yeah.
Well, and I got to say, I thought both visions kind of lame. I didn't like them. I thought, oh, yeah, I thought they could have done so much better. And they kept saying, you know, it's got to be alien. And the one woman, I'm like, she's creating the desert. Or it looks like Mars. It's all the same color. It's like, you know, like this looks like, it could look like Earth. And the other guy, I'm like, well, that's from, you know, Star Wars. We've seen that in Empire Strikes Back, right? And I thought, like, Reg and I were talking about it. I'm like, I would create a desert, but it would be green. So he would land and be hopeful and then go, oh, and then realize that it's toxic, or it'd be, you know, completely made of mirrors in a place that gets hit by lightning, right? Because that's how, you know, like it's all glass and, you know, but you can't, it looks like water, but it's not edible. And
that's what I thought of like doing a dried up ocean, but like changing the color. It's like doing it purple, like an ocean floor that was purple, or, you know, that's because you have to getting that alien thing. Cause it's like, for me, it's true. It's like, I felt like hers looked like Mars and like, you know, cause hers was very red and desolate. And his was like, as if living creature, like you landed on living creature. I liked hers a bit better, than the guys, but I think I liked her a bit better. So I was rooting for her.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I was a little like it's hard to get alien and it's hard to get different, especially since when you see them during the process that they're buying, mostly they build the set, but they're buying stuff. So they're buying big rocks, fake rocks or trees or real trees or skeletons or fake skeletons. So it's like they're using things that exist. So you may have seen them before. Like, you know.
Yeah, well, I think the fact that she used a tree and she was so focused on a tree, I'm like, oh my God, this is supposed to be alien. A tree is absolutely, to me, symbolic of Earth.
For me, I got it, though, because that shows, like, because it's like a dead tree, it shows desolation. So I understood it from that perspective, but it's true.
But
I thought hers was more successful and more visually interesting than the guys. It just...
Well, I think also, and we were talking about this too, that she is a real artist because she created like that moving sort of ramp, like he had space to walk around, and that when he lands, it wasn't right in the center of the screen, it was off to the side. I mean, there were some real artistic elements where it was all in the middle, in the center. It looked like like an apartment decorated with pieces from an aircraft, like not an aircraft, a spacecraft.
Yeah.
It was so no chaos, all very linear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's why he didn't win. I really think that. And I can't believe he didn't think to like have the floor move up and down.
For me, that was the big thing, because it's like the astronaut landed in like this circular, like as you said, it's in the center, it's in a circle. It's like, you know, like that's so like, is that there? Is that for where, you know, humanoids land? Like what, it's so like, if he could, like if it was like a trampoline or something, or if he fell into it or something. That would have been cool if you fell into
That's
it.
That's a good idea, yeah. I was hoping it would turn into an eyeball.
Oh, yeah, switch it over. Yeah, like something.
Right?
Yeah, because...
But the trampoline would have been so easy and so smart, yeah. Not expensive, to just have it so that he's off his feet.
Dangerous, though. Like, for a safety factor, that's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, it's true.
So, but yeah, but it was so static, you know, and there were elements, and I think the final shot that they had of the guy's hand on the thing that moved was successful, but you know, I think one of the judges said that you're asking a lot of your audience to put that all together, and I think that's a very true. The judges were great. Like, and the host was great too. Like, really, you know, for something that's like, for me, I've worked in theater, I've seen sets being created, and you know, I'm interested and curious in this kind of thing. So, but I can imagine from someone having no idea, like how, like it was nice that they sort of led you along the way in terms of the process and what's expected, and you know, but it's hard. It's hard to create something that's not so different. People won't have any idea. But not so similar that it feels like Star Wars or, you know, Mars.
Yeah.
I felt hers felt like when you go orange, it's like it's Mars.
I know. And he was, because he's wearing an orange suit.
Yeah.
And the other thing, orange, I'm like, nothing stood out.
Yeah.
And they were right. Totally monochromatic. And that's hard on the eyes. And she really didn't use the foreground the way she should have. And it was kind of lame saying, I wish I could have, you know, I wish I was allowed. And they're like, we told you to.
Really clear that was like no.
Yeah, which is why I'm kind of shocked she actually won.
Me too. I think it was the guy was less successful in creating the vision of it being a creature and movable. If he had gotten some more elements of that, I think he would have won too.
Well, and like we were talking about, and like we're trying to figure out, he, you know, when the woman came to give him her advice and she said, you know, you should make it move. He's like, oh, you've given me great ideas. Like, wow, he wasn't going to do that.
Yeah.
He was just going to leave it and make us think that. So, and then you know it because, you know, the crappy pushing in and out and it breaking and everything. That was not on his landscape in his brain at all. And I'm like, what are you kidding? Why would we think it's organic at all?
Yeah.
So I think he failed in that way. He had a great idea, but didn't take it to the next level. Whereas the other woman, I'm like, oh my God, I have no idea what she's talking about. I can't see her vision. And yet she pulled it out. Yeah. She totally pulled it herself.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that like starting with such a small idea, like how far you can go and also how many elements that you have to make work. Like it has to work. It has to be functional in terms of, you know, the actor has to be able to be in there and has to use it and you have to, and then you're working with a director, you know, they have the same director using the camera and then effects and then ash in the air and lightning and sound and all of those things. And it's like, that is so, like there's so many elements, you know, that you have to, you know, account for, and it's amazing the amount of work and that they got, and their backgrounds too, because it's like he works in commercials, so he's used to getting stuff done, you know, quickly and on budget, and you could feel that. You could feel that. Like I had no qualm, like I had no tension that he wouldn't be done. I was worried that she wouldn't be done.
I know. That is so true. And I think, you know, like as good as it is to be able to work quickly and under budget, I can tell you from Reg's experience doing TV versus movies, there's no comparison when it comes to quality. He's like, you know, with TV, they had this like scene where they're all screaming because there's supposed to be a nuclear meltdown and everyone gave it 100%. And they stopped the set and they said, guys, this is a made-for-TV movie.
Right.
You know, it's okay. You don't need to give us 100%. And in general, like things are done in two shots and we're done.
Right.
Whereas movies, every angle done a million times. So I think that as a result with this guy, his quality was a lot less. He could have done so much more, but he was more worried about working, getting it all done within a certain time frame.
And then there was the huge foobar of getting the giant rock, ordering the giant rock on the last day, and it being like ridiculously huge. And that's one of those things, like when I watch Shipping Wars, and like it just, that kind of stuff drives me bananas. It's like, it's bigger than your trailer.
Jared!
Like,
yes, Jared! true. Darren, will you just know how big your trailer is, please?
My
Oh,
heart
it's
goes
so
out to that
true.
guy, though. I do. I'm always cheering for him, but sometimes.
I know, God, because I mean, I know those are mistakes I would make too, but I'm not a numbers person, but I don't do that for a living.
Yeah, no, but with stuff like this, and I was actually very appreciative that they did do stuff like talk about the budget and, like, you know, that
Yeah.
and time constraints and stuff like that, because it's very real. Like, you have to get it done, like, you know.
Yep.
So.
And it shows you how sometimes you shouldn't work with your spouse. I was getting really mad at the husband
Wow.
telling his wife what to do.
But it's so weird.
I'm
Some
like,
people just work like that. Like, I can't imagine working
yeah.
with, like, anyone like that, let alone someone I was related to. It just feels so mean.
I know. I thought, I bet he's used to being in charge, but this is her show and he's not used to letting go. And she didn't back down. She's like, no, we're getting a ladder. It can be
Yeah,
done.
I love that. It's fabric. I'm pretty sure it can be moved. And so for stuff like that, that's when I was like, oh, I'm Team Opera.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I was like, even like your husband's giving you a hard time. Like, yeah, I really wanted her to win. It just drove me crazy that it looked too much like Earth and Mars at the same time.
Yeah.
And but she won.
Yeah.
So I wonder now, do we know about the structure of the show? I gather that next week it'll be two different people, and maybe do the winners pair off, or is this just like just every week two different
I
people?
think every week it's two different people. I looked it up quickly and I can see a total of 10 people listed. So I don't know if that means that there's
Wow.
five episodes or if there's six and then there's a big finale something. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Well,
I
and you had said that you found it a little less accessible than Face Off. I was curious why. Put that on Facebook, by the way. That's how I know that. I didn't read your mind or
accessible
anything.
or successful? Accessible?
No, you said accessible.
Well, I think that's the thing, like, about, like, with makeup. I think most people have, like, wore a mask on Halloween or tried makeup on
Oh,
and
I
stuff
see what
like
you're
that.
saying.
Whereas with
Right.
the set, it's pretty, you know, it's a few more steps removed than the average person would have to have the context of how you would create a
Okay,
set.
yeah.
Mind you, then I talk to people that have worked in construction or built houses, and they know crap loads more than I do about, like, everything. It's just like, oh, so that's why that would fall down, eh? Oh, you can't do that. Oh, that's what mitered means. Oh, okay. I think that's what I meant. I think.
Well, I think it was really interesting. I love seeing how they use the foam to create the world, and her too, using basically like an electric knife to carve out her set. That 'cause I don't know anything about that. I'm all small scale. Everything for me is jewelry or food. The idea of doing something on a grand scale like that blows my
Yeah, or
mind.
the idea of, like, the fact that they used a lot of rental equipment, like with the tech stuff, like the
Right?
spaceship crash. So they had to use a lot of kids' products, stuff that was washable, so that they can return it unharmed because it's a rental.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I thought that was actually a really cool idea, but I think they didn't. It was like, that doesn't look like something crash landed. That looks like there's lots of pieces everywhere. It's like, you know, there's things like, you know, if something hits on a trajectory, this is where the things would land. Like, so stuff like that I
Yeah.
find a little strange.
Not hung on the wall perfectly
Yeah.
straight. It's just that drove
Near
me
each other
crazy.
or still connected to each
Yeah.
other, you know. But again, it's like,
May
you know, it might have
may
worked.
It's true. I would have, but because they had to return it, they couldn't slam it into the wall, right?
That's true.
Made me wish in a way I lived in LA. All these amazing stores, like where you can buy bones or pieces from spacecraft. It's just, oh my God. I could see like doing storage wars and then selling stuff to people like that. And oh, I just thought it's just a different world there. I found that really fast. How much a part of the movies and entertainment are a big part of there. You know,
Well,
it's very
it's
cool.
funny because one of the things, I think it's like in the B movie world, I think it's hilarious because there's this one place, I think Lost World or the third Jurassic Park movie was filmed there, and it's like, as was, you know, which one is it? Dino Croc versus Super Gator was filmed there, and so, like, you see the mill, and it's like the same mill, and there's like a fair, like, several B movies have been filmed there, and they have a scene. It's just kind of funny because it's like, oh, it's just like, I wonder if that ever happens with props, because it's like, oh, I've seen that rock before, I've seen that tree before. her burnt body or whatever. So funny.
That is awesome.
Well, I'll be very curious to see what they pick next and you know, what how they take it on. And for me, it's also like Face Off, I find like getting the idea gives me ideas. I'm like, ooh, what would I do? And we both came up with, you know, what would we do, you know?
That's true.
And so it's very engaging from a creative perspective. And I love seeing the creative process at work. It's just, it's so awesome.
Yeah, it's so entertaining, isn't it? And I mean, for me, you know, creating these worlds, I mean, that's a lot of part of supernatural TV too. You know, it's creating a space in a sense, although our shows aren't, they're not gothic or anything like that, but still like makeup and sets. I mean, it's all part of that world.
Yep.
And I find that fascinating. Yeah. So
gives all, gives so much atmosphere, you know?
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to the next episode. We totally loved watching Face Off followed by Hot Set. It was just a very exciting night.
It's so funny because when I looked at the new fall TV schedule and I look at the shows I watch and there's tons on Friday and tons on Monday and a fair amount on, you know, the other days and whatever. And I'm like, wow, there is nothing on Tuesday. Nothing. And they're like, oh, well, because it's like all the regular channels. And then I'm like, oh, but if I have Hot Set and Face Off, like, I'm fine. Like, that might be.
Yeah.
Because it's, I guess there's a lot of procedurals and stuff. Like, I don't even know. Like,
yeah.
Whatever. I don't watch procedurals.
No, me either. Not anymore.
Good stuff. So are we good to wrap up Hot Set?
Yes, I think so.
Cool.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. And then that last leads us to our last show of the week, and we're probably going to be pretty quick on this one, I think.
Short, yeah.
Yeah. So that's Paranormal Witness Season 2, Episode 6, called The Apartment. And the shortness is not due to it not being good, but more, I know, I found it extremely disturbing. I assume you found it extremely disturbing.
Yeah, well, you warned me last week,
yeah.
So I got out my iPad while it was on, and I tried to watch it while shopping for winter nightgowns, and it was getting worse and worse, and I had to fast forward.
Really? Because, well, yeah.
That's very rare for me.
It was extremely disturbing, and I definitely multitasked and left the room a few times and considered not watching at all, because it was really, really, really disturbing. And so the story that they followed was a woman who continually has horrific dreams about a girl being abducted by a couple after she's moved into a new apartment. There's also a fair amount of activity in the apartment, things moving, things continually ending up on her bed, her daughter talking to someone. I wasn't sure if that was throughout the episode or if it ended up being revealed later, that her daughter seemed to make an imaginary friend who was the woman who was abducted. And this was all after moving to a new apartment. It persisted when she moved to one more apartment. And then I think when she moved the second time, it finally did stop, but it was linked to a real crime of a girl who was abducted for, I don't remember how long, but like literally off the street and kept by a couple who tortured her and violated her. And like, I don't know if they were convicted of that crime, there was another crime that the guy was convicted of basically keeping someone like under their bed for years and years and years and years and years.
Yeah, it's only 7 years or 5 years.
And that woman finally escaped. Like, it was extraordinarily disturbing.
I mean, well, that when they brought out the torture device for her head, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I don't need to know this.
Yeah.
I don't need to know this. And I didn't find that there was much of a resolution.
Well, it did. I thought, because you asked me if I thought it was worth it to watch, and I did, because it did. Eventually, the woman did find a connection and connect with someone from the press or the police.
That's true.
Was something that she found out that was never in general circulation that felt like it voiced that she was seeing, and this was something of an actual person, like,
but I don't
an actual crime.
But to me, is that enough to go through all that to validate what that? It was more about that woman's horrific experience having the nightmares than helping the ghost. Mm-hmm. I guess is my point. And I agree that is horrific. I didn't know at the time, but I had similar things happening when I lived near a serial killer, because I didn't know I lived near a serial killer. I'm like, why am I seeing these women being murdered and tortured. And I mean, I have a sleeping disorder. I didn't think it was real. So I can appreciate what she went through. But would I go on that show and tell that story if there was no real resolution for those women? I don't know.
I guess the woman she was.
It didn't help at all. I mean, the woman who was just as responsible for the crime, she never went to jail.
No, she testified against her husband, so he went to jail.
Which is very similar to a case that's happened in Canada.
Yeah, the Paul Bernardo.
Which you had mentioned.
Yeah,
the Bernardo.
Bernardo and Carla Homolka, which is for me the other reason why this one is particularly disturbing. Because, you know, growing up where and when we did and having, there's a pretty similar, like abducting young girls and terrifying them and doing extraordinarily awful things to them. It's very similar in terms of context. And and it's just, you know.
And that was no small threat to us.
No,
I worked in a mall where a woman was, you know, abducted. I just for me, it was just way too. I guess I have a lot of post-traumatic stress from living in a place where that happened.
Yeah,
and I don't know. Like these shows are important to me so that there's some catharsis, and I feel like the catharsis is really only on the woman's part, and I am glad that she is no longer seeing it, but I feel for the girl. I just don't feel like anything was resolved for her.
Yeah.
And maybe what was happening is maybe it wasn't a haunting. Maybe it was maybe it was a residual haunting where the impact of what happened is still there.
Mm.
And it's not like she's haunting it, but just because something so horrible happened.
Yeah.
That it's an imprint.
Yeah, because that's weird, because it's not where the actual crime happened. Like, it's where the girl lived, and she did apparently bring this couple there.
That's true.
You know, and then they left, and then. Oh, I guess they abducted her from the apartment. They, like, knocked
her
out from her own apartment, and then.
Yeah.
But so that's where it started.
Yeah, so I guess the residual haunting there wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, but she's definitely connected with the woman and had all of these. Like really extraordinarily awful dreams and repeated, and like the fact that years later she saw a picture her daughter drew of like the crime, and it's like that's just horrific, you know, for a kid to have to not even content and apparently have this sort of play friend and just think it was, you know, and not understand what's going on. Like it's just awful.
I guess it does validate the fact that it didn't she isn't crazy.
Yeah.
That it was paranormal. Yeah. And maybe that was the point.
Yeah.
But I can say if this is going to turn into a paranormal crime show, I'm not going
to
watch.
Well, but that's what I'm trying to figure out, because it is called Paranormal Witness. So it's people that are witnessing. As far as I've seen, it's mostly people who are witnessing awful things that happen. And like I said, like in case it's in any way unclear, like for me, what's awful is that anyone would actually abduct and torture someone. Like that's just, how can humans do that? Like it's just so evil and so wrong, you know?
And that's what the focus of the show really was. It didn't feel like it was focused on the paranormal to me. I mean, maybe it was, but I'm just sitting there just so traumatized.
Well, there was lots
like,
of stuff
horrible.
That happened in her house. Like the stuff that kept on showing up on her bed, and her keys ended up on her
bed,
and her, you know, in her shoes. And like that one night where they wake up and like the place is like shaking like crazy. Like it was nutty. It was nutty, you know, and the fact that it persisted even and stayed with her even after she moved once, that's pretty scary.
It is scary,
you know. So,
and what's even, I think, even more frightening is she thinks she's seen the woman.
Yeah.
The
oh,
woman
that's
who
right.
That thing that she's pretty sure she
about
saw.
That. I forgot about that.
You know, and that, who knows what that woman's doing? Because she was just as responsible.
Oh, for sure.
We're gonna take, you know, she lured that girl. She made that girl feel very, you know, confident about herself, safe, and ask the questions, would anybody miss you if you were gone, type thing. And it's just total pure evil. And that person's still out there, not in jail.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel much better after watching that.
Yeah. So, and that's, for me, that's one of the reasons why I in general don't watch crime shows or procedural shows at all. Cause I just think so much of that stuff is so awful. Yeah. So, but I do make some exceptions, but it's pretty rare. So.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, so I'll be curious to see what next week's episode is like.
Was that on last night, Shannon?
Yeah.
It was, so you haven't seen it yet?
No, I taped it because it was on at the same time as the Big Brother finale.
Oh, which I still have to watch. Don't say anything yet. I can't believe I haven't heard any spoilers. So I'm going to go make some lunch and watch it.
Yeah.
Hopefully not hear anything about it.
Well, last night was big reality TV night. Survivor premiere and Big Brother finale. Like, wow.
I know the Big Brother finale went to was it 1 o'clock here or something? I was like, I can't stay up all night watching that.
Oh, right, because it's live.
Yeah, and it was late here. It was at least midnight, and I can't stay up
past
11.
Yeah, they had it after the Survivor premiere, which was an hour and a half, which was very surprising as well. So
yeah, it was.
That it was an hour and a half. I didn't understand why they did that.
No, I don't either. Yeah, I'll be watching Survivor tonight and Paranormal Witness. Hopefully not scared out of my mind with that. Because, I can handle all spooky stuff, but that torturing...
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that it was not.
Well, thank you for warning me, because if I hadn't known, I feel bad for you for not knowing. That was horrible.
Yeah. So I think I'll give myself permission to feel like if it's going a direction I don't, I'm not interested in, that I don't have to watch. Cause it's
absolutely.
Other shows I felt like, cause for me, other shows like School Spirits and Haunted Highway, I was always engaged and interested no matter what. This one, sometimes it just doesn't work for me. So.
Yeah. Well, I guess it all depends on the story. I just don't know why. I mean, I feel even bad for the actress who had to go and play that role. I mean, that's a role of somebody who really went through that and physically having to go through that.
Yeah.
Like, what was up with that? I might write a letter to them. I'm so upset about that. That's the Riddler way.
Write a letter.
Us and our letters. Hey, it makes a difference. I complained to my my theater because the ushers kept going in and out of the movie and not going down to the bottom. They would cut across, and I sit in the front row of the back section. I totally missed a major scene in Spider-Man because of it. And so ever since I wrote and complained, it hasn't happened.
Really?
So.
Wow. Yep. Effect. Awesome.
Yeah. We can change the world. Yay! And well, movie theaters.
That's one way to start.
Anyway, Shannon. Yeah. Woo. Ending up on a serious note.
Yeah. Serious note.
Heavy, heavy. Let's hope they do Sasquatch or something.
Yeah. That'd be much better. Much better.
A major big crocodile or something.
I saw a crocodile in my dream.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
I was pretending to be someone on the show. I saw a crocodile in my dream.
Okay, I got it. But for a moment, with our family.
Yeah, no,
you know?
That would not be unusual for me to have a crocodile. That would actually probably be a little too normal to show up when I'm like.
Oh my God, my dreams lately, it's all about having to go back to university.
Oh, really?
Over and over and over again. And
I think school.
Well, I think that might be tapping into that. But when it came to having to go all the way to York and it's cold and dark, I remember in my dream I said, I quit. I don't give a shit about this anymore. I said, so far I haven't had a dream about that again. That was just 2 days ago. But I swear it's nonstop.
Wow.
It's nonstop. Just because I started a little cooking school doesn't mean I'm back in school. It's a delinquent school. It's not supposed to be like that. It's funny, I can understand not wanting to go back to high school, but I really liked university, but I was like, oh damn, I'm so bored.
Maybe it means something else. Like, maybe it's connected to something else.
It could be. I think so, actually. I think it has more to do with my husband's job.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably it, actually. Thank you, Shannon. I never made that connection, but you're right.
Yeah, usually dreams aren't as literal as you think they are. Like, they are. Like, one puzzle piece that's not the leapfrog you think you're going to take on it. So.
And if you want your dreams analyzed, Shannon always has an interesting perspective. It's true, though. You do.
I try to. Well, I don't try to. It just happens.
She's just like,
I'm just like that. Okay, well, I guess that's up for this week. Next week, we do have we have all the same shows: Revolution, Almighty Johnsons, Face Off, Hot Set, Paranormal Witness. We also have, there was a new episode of Alphas. Hopefully, we'll catch up next week. And
I hope so, yes.
And talk Alphas 2. We're a very front-heavy week. And it'll probably take us probably a month and a half to settle into which shows we talk about when, because, when we record versus whatever. We have some new series starting next week, both Elementary... and which is the Sherlock Holmes one, and Last Resort start next week on Thursday on September 27th.
So, oh, wait, sorry. Both of them on the 27th?
Yeah.
Elementary.
And Last Resort.
I don't know why I don't have that down. Okay.
We won't be talking about them because they'll start airing after we talk. We also have series return next week on Friday. Haven and Fringe both start on Friday the 28th.
And Fringe. And Grimm comes back.
And Grimm comes back on Friday the 28th. So, and ooh, again, wait, for the U.S. folks, Haven starts this week on the 21st. You lucky, lucky dogs, you. Lucky dogs.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I want to say lucky, but mostly I'm like. Rah, 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 rah.
Oh, and by the way, and just in passing, because I mentioned it last week, I did go see Resident Evil. Mia kicks butt, but there are issues. I had big, big issues
really?
With the movie. Yeah. You know how you talk about some movies not being very original?
Uh-huh.
I had that issue, and I had another issue too, but I won't go into that. But it was a bit disappointing for me. So the action was great. You'll like that.
Yeah.
But
it's weird because it feels like the unoriginality might be intentional from what I've seen. Like, because I think it's supposed to really, really, really be the last one. So that kind of feels like they're drawing from the other films now.
It's from another film entirely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yes, they do draw on the other films. So I thought that was quite clever, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah. And the other one is more personal. Other people, it wouldn't bother, but it bothered me.
And that was, it's Resident Evil. Is it Retribution? I think that's one.
Oh, something like that. Yeah.
So anyway, I still want to see it.
I want her costume. I want her costume.
Cool. Well, we'll be back next week to chat, you know, these shows and probably alphas, and but not the new ones yet because they won't have aired. So thanks so much for listening all the way to the very, very end.
Bye.
Bye. I'm like, where's my button? Where's the button? Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Hexed Sisterhood of the Supernatural. You can find us online on our blog, hexedpodcast.blogspot.com. Come and join our Facebook fan page by searching Hexed Sisterhood of the Supernatural, or email us directly at hexedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us online individually. Susie, where can people find you?
You can find me at susieridler.blogspot.com or susiethefoodie.blogspot.com. And Shannon, where can people find you?
You can find me, Shannon the Movie Moxie, at moviemoxie.blogspot.com. And so that's it for this week. And thanks so much for listening. You've been listening to Hexed Sisterhood of the Supernatural, all supernatural TV.
All the time.